Thank you. Today we're going to be in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. Today's courageous story is about Rahab and the two spies. But I want to start with some show and tell this morning. Let's go back to Jericho. There's the old city that's still there, and there's the new city that's around it. And I remember being there when I was 20 years old on a college trip. There was a group that went, and I was so glad I could go. It was a fun group. And I just had a memory backstage of what was happening. I can remember traveling, and there were several ladies with us. I was going to say old ladies, but I didn't want to say that. But they had, maybe 50 disposable cameras with them. And I just remember, for some reason, I became the designated disposable camera picker-upper. And what they would do, here we are in Jericho. The bus would stop, we'd come and look at Jericho. And she'd dig in her purse and pull out a camera. And then that one, and then she'd put it under like this, because she had to get another one. Here's the walls of Jericho we've uncovered. And then she'd click, and then that camera would fall on the ground. So after a few days, I became the spotter. And I don't know if I saw much of Jericho or much of the Holy Land, because I was picking up cameras the whole time. And I think one day when I get to heaven, these ladies are going to be there. And they're going to say, "Are you Roger Ang?" I said, "Yeah." "Did you go to the Holy Land with me back in the early..." "Yeah, that was me." "I just want to thank you for picking up my cameras so I could have pictures." That's one of the things I'm looking for. Anyway, I just thought of that before I came out. What a fun memory. And yes, our bus tour did stop at Jericho. Jericho is one of the world's oldest cities. It is an oasis called the City of Palms because of so many palm trees. And you can see behind the photo there, you can see the Judean hills. That's facing west into the interior of Israel. And to the east is the Jordan River. It is spring-fed. They have found fresh spring water inside those ancient walls as well as now in the modern city. It is 800 feet below sea level. It is a 10-acre tell. Now, a tell is what happens when you have centuries and centuries and centuries of these ancient cities. They fall into ruins, and there's a new town built on top of that, a new city built on top of that, another city built on top of that. So you get this mound of earth and rubble and bricks and everything, and it ends up being a tell. So ancient Jericho today is a 10-acre tell. So when I said I had some show and tell today, I'm showing you a tell. Anyway, I don't know. So at the time of Joshua, they've dug down to that layer, 26 layers total, and they have found that Jericho was a double-walled fortress. It was a military outpost. And when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan and they went into the Promised Land, finally, it took a while for them to get there, you remember. They took out the military outposts. Jericho, Ai, and Hatzor. All three cities have been found. And it's been interesting how archaeology has confirmed the biblical record. Well, what did they discover at Jericho? Well, they found a 15-foot retaining wall. That's a boulder wall. It's still there. You're not going to move that. It goes all the way down to bedrock. And that retaining wall was supporting the walls above it and the embankment that went up to the upper city. And they found two walls. It was a dual wall system. There was a lower wall, 6 foot by 6 foot, an upper wall, 6 foot by 6 foot, made of brick. They found portions of that wall as well. It showed there was a lower city where they kept storage, and that was kind of like the wrong side of the tracks if you lived in the lower city. That was 2 or 3 or 4 acres in the lower city. And then up above, there was another wall marking out the upper city. That's where the king and the upper class folks lived, maybe 6 or 7 acres on top. So 10 acres all the way around. Now, here's the thing. They found one section of the wall that had not fallen, and there was a house attached to it. And that's interesting because that'll come up in our story today. And I've put a little red line, a little red cord coming out of that window there because maybe that was Rahab's house, which is kind of cool. It fits the story. And they also found Kathleen Kenyon, who's not a believer. She did one excavation there years ago. And she discovered that the walls had fallen outwardly. The clay bricks and the houses attached to it had fallen outward. As the text says, the text literally says in Joshua that the walls fell beneath the people. As if there would be a huge wall up there in front of the balcony, in front of Chuck there. And those bricks, all that fell this way. Well, then I could just scamper right up that little ramp and attack Chuck if I wanted to. And that's what they discovered. They found that the wall had fallen outwardly, making a ramp into the city. And they also discovered a 3-foot burn layer, indicating that the city was burned quickly. It was a swift destruction. They found huge pots of grain, clay jars, pottery filled with grain, indicating that it was at harvest time. The pots were full and the top of the pots were burned. They were burned and charred, indicating that whatever happened in Jericho happened quickly. Now, isn't this interesting? Once again, the archaeology confirms the details that we'll read from the scripture in the book of Joshua. That's our show and tell. Now let's look at the story and see what we can learn about courage today. Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua secretly sent out 2 spies from the Israelite camp at the Achaia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the 2 men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Now, let me stop right there. This is a very awkward moment. Okay, 2 spies go spy out the land. It was a military intelligence gathering. See if there's a weakness in their system. And what do? They go to the house of the prostitute. Now, why did they do that? I don't know why they did that. Maybe they just did that. You know, that thing. Maybe they had been spotted in town, and they needed a good place to hide. Now, that'd be a great place to hide, don't you think? Or maybe they needed information about what was going on, and the best place to go would be go talk to Rahab, because she knew a lot about what was happening in town. So, they stayed there, but someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land, so... In other words, they were found out. Maybe that's why they went to hide there. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they've come here to spy out the whole land. Well, Rahab had hidden the 2 men, but she replied, yes, the men, they were here earlier. I didn't know where they're from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch them. She's good. Verse 6, actually, she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. Verse 7, so the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading out to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. As soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. That means the spies are locked in, all right? So before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof and talked with them. Now look at what she says, verse 9. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made the dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. That was 39 years ago. What did they have? Sunday school in Jericho? Awana? How did she know this Bible story? Word got out. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, whose people you completely destroyed. See, Rahab was an Amorite. And she knew what they had already done to these great Amorite kings. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. In other words, she told them, we're not going to fight. We know we can't win. Our hearts have melted in fear. For the Lord your God, look what she says. The Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and their families. And the spies said, we offer our own lives as a guarantee of your safety. The men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. And then since Rahab's house was built into the town wall. Isn't that interesting? She let them down by a rope through the window. Before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by an oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brother, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. Verse 20. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. Rahab says, I accept your terms. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went up into the hill country, stayed there 3 days. The men were chasing them, searched everywhere along the road. They finally returned without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, reported to Joshua all that happened. Here's the report. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said. For all the people in the land are terrified of us. This is the word of God. Father, thank you for this ancient story. Help us to pull from it today courage that we need in our time, in our day. Thank you for this wonderful story of redemption that we can read about and that we can experience in our own lives and in our own families, I pray, these days. Amen. So let's look at the story and see the courage of Rahab and the two spies. Really, the courage of Rahab. Number one, what was Rahab afraid of? Rahab feared the Lord. She feared the Lord more than her king and people. She risked her life. She hid the spies. She lied to the king's men, didn't she? That will get you in trouble. She said, hurry up. You might catch them, but there they were. The spies were on the roof. And at night, she helped them escape by the rope through the window. She was courageous. What was she afraid of? She was afraid of Israel's God, Israel's Lord, not her own king, not her own people. What are you afraid of? What are you most afraid of? The fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. We should fear the Lord and fear him only. And second, Rahab knew Israel's Lord was the supreme God of all. She gave this surprising confession. I know the Lord has given you this land. I've heard about the Red Sea. And then she says, your God is the supreme God of heaven above and earth below. She was a secret believer. She wanted to follow the God of Israel. Isn't that amazing? You know, every city-state had their own god, their own deity, and that lived in their own zip code. Jericho had its own temple, its own god, its own religion, pagan religion. But she heard all about Israel's God, how they left Egypt and everything that happened. I mean, their God travels with them. Everywhere they go, every zip code they go into, that God wins. That God is God over all of the gods that they defeated in Egypt and all the way up to the Promised Land. So she is a believer in the God of Israel. The God of Israel is the God of everyone, everywhere. I want him to be my God too. And then third, Rahab accepted the terms and the promise of salvation. She put that scarlet rope out the window. Now, it didn't have to be the same rope. I mean, you're not going to climb down. A big guy isn't going to climb down the wall with that. I mean, the scarlet rope may have been that indication that this is the red light district. Might have been decorative. And nobody would have thought anything about it. She's got the scarlet rope hanging up. Maybe there was a different rope that she used to let the spies down, and they said, put the scarlet rope, hang it out the window. That was the terms. And your family, get your family in here, and they will be saved from destruction. Now, what does that sound like? 39 years earlier, remember that final plague in Egypt? When that death angel came through Egypt and they said, get in your house and put the blood over the doorpost. That was the Passover. And destruction did not visit any of those families who were protected by the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. Now here you have them entering the promised land. You have this first woman saved from destruction by putting that scarlet cord out the window. Oh, thousands of sermons have been preached about this scarlet cord all through the Bible, leading right to the cross. That blood is a place of safety from the wrath and punishment of God. She accepted the terms. She did what they said. She got her family to come into her house. And fourth, Rahab's true report gave courage to all Israel. You remember the last time they sent spies into the promised land? Moses sent 12 spies. 10 of them said what? Forget it. We can't do this. They were so scared. Isn't it funny that Joshua sent 2 spies this time? 2 is all we need, because the 2 will tell us what we want to hear, right? As I did and Caleb did before. She tells the spies, and the spies go back and tell Joshua, and they tell the people, we've won. Let's go. And this time, the people were filled with courage, and the others were not. It's time to go. And Rahab gave that report. And then fifth, Rahab trusted the Lord. She saved her family and future. I don't know how she got all her family to come to her house. I don't know if they liked going to her house. She said, I want everybody in here. Come to my house. The nephews and nieces and brothers and sisters. How many? Dozens and dozens of people packed in her house. She renounced her people. She got her family close. And she joined the people of God. Remember, she's a foreigner. She's a Canaanite. She's an idolater. She's a prostitute. And she is an ally of Israel. She's the first one we meet in the conquest of Canaan. And she experiences in her family the kindness and the mercy of God. Joshua didn't have to send the spies, did he? He really didn't have to send the spies. He didn't need a scouting report. He knew the Lord. Why do you think maybe Joshua sent the spies? Maybe it was just to find Rahab and her family and identify that house, because God had called them to salvation. And he would find them. He would find them and save them. So let's jump ahead to chapter 6. What happened after this? Israel crosses the Jordan. Remember, it was dry ground. They crossed the Jordan. Remember, they marched around Jericho for 6 days. The seventh day, they march around Jericho 7 times. And they shout, and they blow the trumpets, and the walls fall outwardly, and they just walk right into the city. Chapter 6, verse 22, Joshua says to the 2 spies, keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house, bring her out along with all her family. And the men who had been spies went in, brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all other relatives who were with her. And they moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. So part of the attack of Jericho was to bring the U-Haul and load up the family and get them out of here. You don't read much about the battle of Jericho. What you really read about is the battle to save Rahab and her family. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burned the town, everything in it. The things made from silver, gold, bronze, and iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. She lives. What's the conclusion? Let's look at the New Testament and see what the New Testament says about this ancient story. What can we learn from it? First, faith alone saves. Did Rahab deserve to be saved? Was she a good woman? Was she a good person? Faith. Her faith saved her. She's in the Hall of Fame in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11. She's mentioned right there with Abraham and Moses, and then there's Rahab in that story. It says, by faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. She had the courage to believe in God when no one else in her town did. And that faith alone saved her. Faith alone saves us. And second, true faith acts. And James points out her actions. James 2:25, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Faith is dead without good works. Rahab's faith was real. She had the courage to disobey the king. She had the courage to hide the spies in her home. She had the courage to help them escape, and she had the courage to plead for mercy from the God of Israel. True faith acts. What courageous thing have you done for the Lord this week? True faith acts. And these days, true faith will have to act to stay alive and vibrant. And then faith secures the future. Verse 25 says, she lives among the Israelites to this day. And that means at the time Joshua recorded this story, they knew about Rahab and her new family living in Judah. And she didn't just live. She was a leading lady in Israel. She married a prince of Judah. His name was Salmon. Sounds like kind of a fishy name to me, but she married a guy named Salmon. He was a prince in Judah, a leading prince in Judah. Some people say, it's not hard for me to imagine, that Salmon was one of the 2 spies. Maybe it was love at first sight. She hid him. She rescued them. Maybe they stole a kiss under the flax up on the roof. I don't know. It's not hard to imagine. When we look at the genealogy in Matthew and Luke, there's Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus, and we find out that Rahab is the great-great-grandmother of King David. How's that for a change? How's that for a transformation? It lists Salmon, who's married to Rahab, and then they have Boaz, who's married to Ruth, another foreigner, who left her people and said, "Your God will be my God." And they have Obed, they have Jesse, and then there's David, and 14 generations later, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is born. Rahab's future was changed from prostitution to a princess and an ancestor of our Lord Jesus. That's quite a change, isn't it? And that's what salvation does. Whoever has the Son has life, new life. We are made into a new creation, aren't we? By faith through Christ.